Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all rise.
Let's drink.
Our first song, Everlasting God. I always, it's funny, but when I do songs, I always think of songs as the names of the songs are the first line of the songs as Strength Will Rise. And to me, this helps me because it reminds me that my strength doesn't come from me. And I'm not like you're like agenda-minded kind of person, but my strength, so it doesn't ever come from a schedule. But anyways, and you can ask my husband that. But my strength always comes from the Lord. And I remember feeling this a lot too when I was younger. When I spent the time with the Lord, joy would start to fill my heart, and then my strength would come. I was like, wow, it really is amazing. And so as we sing this song, some of us, like I just woke up feeling sort of rather tired. But as we started to sing, it's like, okay, Lord, and I started getting my mind on Him. Like, my strength does come from You. It comes from You. And so wherever we are, whether we had our coffee, whether we had our energy drink, which is what I do, or not, our strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, and it's a promise. Amen. So if anyone feels like clapping, that might get the blood moving too. Amen. Amen. Yay. I like Carl. Yay. Amen. Here we go.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever. Our hope, our strong
just up the tempo a little bit. Here we go. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever. A strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift like eagles. One more time. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever. Our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, You won't grow weary. You come the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You live upon wings like eagles. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, You You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I just thought of this, that we are spirit, soul, and body. And there's something, we come to church and we think about our spirit and our soul, but our body is something that we can engage in. And I know that we lift our hands, sometimes we clap. I found like, well, as I got older, it's a little bit harder to jump up and down. My knees don't really allow that. But if you want to, sometimes our bodies just need that up. You know, we need to just sort of like, okay, Lord, I'm going to just give you what I have. Anyways, and he blesses it. And I found that to be true. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praises rising, hearts are turning to you. We turn to you. To face the day. Your presence, all our fears are washed away. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Away.
Shanda Rama Reke. Rama Reke. you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Father God, we thank you for your name. You've given us the name of Jesus, which is above every name in our life. And we give you all glory and honor. Oh, Lord God, we lift our voices to you. You are worthy of all our praise. There is no other one like you. We lift our voices to you, O Lord. 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 We lift our voices to you, O God. We lift our voices to you, O God. We lift our voices. We lift our voices. Because you are God. 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 Yes, thank you, Lord. Father, we just give our hearts to you right now. Lord, there's so much that's going on in our world and our nation. There's so much that goes on in our lives. And Lord God, it's true, the enemy seeks to just make us tired and wear us out. And we know, Lord God, that without your strength, we cannot do anything. Thank you, Father God. Lord God, so Father, as we come before you here right now, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that we can lift our voices before you, O God. We can lift our hearts before you, O God. You never condemn us. You don't judge us, O God. You never shame us, O God. We are weak, but you are strong. And so, Father, because, Lord God, you said you're for us, and nothing can come against us, Lord God, we will lift our voices before you, O God. We thank you, O God, because of the promises, O God, that you've given to us, O God. And we say thank you, O God, because your promises are yes and amen. Hallelujah. You will not, your word is true, Father God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you that we can hold fast, O God, to what you are speaking and what you are doing in our lives. We give you all our praise and all our glory, Father God, all the glory. We thank you, O God. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just need to shout. I found like sometimes just shouting unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Sometimes it just breaks up the cobwebs in my soul. And it helps me to go, oh God, thank you, oh God. Thank you, Father. Anything that's just a little lingering there, just give him a shout. Hallelujah, because he's worthy. Hallelujah. And he knows what we need. Hallelujah. I know I say hallelujah all the time. Anyways, you can bear with me as I do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you, oh Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. To home. Hallelujah. You are great. You are great.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this morning's 5-minute foundation is about spending time with God. Seems super simple, right? What a simple concept. But I want to encourage you, if you have a chance in the days between now and Election Day, read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 30, or 20 to 33. Because that passage talks about how wisdom is crying in the streets. It's screaming to be heard. It's some things about wisdom, God, in His grace and mercy, made it super easy for us. You know, I mean, a boy is a boy, a girl is a girl. It didn't take a lot of deep thought to figure some of this basic wisdom stuff out. But spending time with God doesn't fall into the wisdom category. Spending time with God is so that we can have a relationship with Him. And it seems like maybe the simplest of things, but I think for most of us, that's probably a more difficult challenge than growing in wisdom and understanding. Just simply spending time with Him and letting each of our relationships with Him grow. So in Ephesians, and this is the what's in your bulletin, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I really want to say that spending time with God, the main objective isn't always to learn something, solve a problem. It's just that your relationship with Him can grow. God desires a relationship. That's that first fill in the blank. God desires a relationship with each of His children. And He wants us to know Him. This requires spending time with God. And sometimes that's called devotions. I think that's the blank in the thing, is devotions or devotional time. And I want to be mindful here, because you can be devoted to developing good habits. You can be devoted to a political cause. There's all sorts of things you could be devoted to, and that's why the word devotion maybe misses the point. Just getting close to God. Just getting close to God. So the fact that morning time or quiet time, devotional time, all those words, it's just a matter of spending time with God. Three basic components: being in the Word, spending time in worship, and spending time in prayer. And I want to encourage everybody, consider this as a possibility, that maybe most days during the week, it would be worth setting aside a little bit of time just to worship God, just to worship Him. It's not intended to be a Sunday morning thing. It's meant to be a part of the fabric of our lives. Just praise and worship. Doesn't have to be hours. It can be minutes, but a little time every day just to praise and worship God. So the three basic components, word, worship. I think we're strong on the word side, or at least the modern evangelical Christian culture. Everybody seems to know they're supposed to be in the Word of God. Hopefully we can turn a corner and find that it's an opportunity to be in the Word of God, but at least as a starting point, you're supposed to be in the Word of God. Word, worship, and prayer. Okay. There's a thing in there. It's in your handout, I think. ACTS, like the Book of Acts. Just a little bit of a guide. Adoration. Confession. And by confession, we mean being honest with God about where we're falling short, right? Not being honest with God about where our spouse is falling short. Not being honest with God about where our country is falling short. This is a time of being honest with God about where we're falling short. And again, it doesn't have to be an hour. A minute or two every morning just to keep your soul clean and your relationship up to date with God. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving. My opinion, I think thanksgiving on a regular daily basis. The other morning, I was having a really tough morning, so I was very mindful of all of my struggles, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who's had mornings like that. And just as I was transitioning from away from my struggles into a time of prayer, God reminded me, I'm healthy, I've got a wife, I've got a house, I'm provided for. I mean, you can be creative about 100 things that you can be thankful for. If you're finding it hard to appreciate God and the blessings in your life, just turn a corner and take a little time every day and voice to God the obvious things that you can be thankful for. A lot of times, especially in the winter, I lay down in bed when it's cold and windy outside, and I say, wow, God, I'm warm. I'm in a bed with blankets. I mean, it's the simplest of things that we take for granted. Thanksgiving is the giving of thanks to God really cultivates our hearts. And then supplication, which is going to God and asking for things. Okay. How long should your morning devotions be? The blank in your book is just meant to say until you're done, right? But how do you know when you're done? You don't. You know, like when you're young and in love, how many minutes should you spend with that person you're young and in love with? Do you fill in a blank? Oh, 18 minutes and 45 seconds is fine. No. But I do think for many of us, our relationships with God become something of timing. I'm going to spend a half an hour in prayer. I'm going to read 2 chapters of the Bible. And again, all those things are great starting points, but they're not the point. The point is, come to a place where you're at rest in your time with God, and then you'll migrate to where you'll know when your morning time is done. And don't be surprised if you cultivate that. You might find yourself getting up earlier in the morning because maybe your morning time with God is becoming so satisfying, you want a little bit more of it. You want it to be a little bit longer, and that would be a great thing. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Oh, how great is our God.
Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great.
Psalm 144, verse 1. Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Do you know that God does not want you to be subject to your enemies? God does not want you to be in the marathon wrestling match where all you do all day long is wrestle with issues. He wants to train your hands for war. He wants you to learn what it means to have your armor on. It doesn't mean like that you'll always walk in perfect victory every moment of your life, but your circumstances might not necessarily change, but you'll have victory where it counts. Here and here, he can teach you how to fight and how to battle and overcome. That's why in Revelation it says, to him who overcomes. Overcomes what? Overcomes the battles. It means you've got to fight. We're in a war, saints. We're in a war. This is not a play. This is not some kind of a, I don't know what you'd call it. We are at war. And we have a real enemy who is ruthless and wants to take you out. God wants to teach you to battle. I'd like to ask you to pray this morning. We have a brother, an elder at Elam Fellowship, been involved in the ministry for years and years with the New York School of Urban Ministry in New York. His name is Peter DiRuta, a lovely man of God. Some of you have taken the New York City trips that we took years ago. Do you remember Peter? He was in a terrible motorbike accident. He's got several broken bones, broke ribs, got some fractures in his spine, and he's looking at quite a lengthy rehab. And I want to pray for him today. God has used that man mightily in New York City, especially reaching the homeless, and I'd like to lift him up this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up our brother Peter to you, Lord, and we thank you for a man who is willing to leave everything and go to New York City. Lord, not many people want to go to New York City, at least not to do what he's there to do, to reach the homeless and to preach the gospel and to minister to the people on the street. Father, I pray that you would help him. God, we pray that you would touch his body. We pray for a miraculous intervention in his behalf, Lord, that you would cause those bones to knit quickly, that you would cause his back injuries, Father, Lord, to heal so that he would not have chronic pain. Lord, in the name of Jesus, please do a restorative work in Peter's life. Oh, God. And, Lord, we pray in his absence that the ministry would not suffer, but it would grow, and that you would bring greater blessing and greater anointing, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you that you are a good God. Father, we know that we have election coming soon. Father, we're crying out to you in behalf of our country. We're crying out to you, Lord, help us. Lord Jesus, help us. Come and move in our behalf as we pray, Father, that your hand would be mighty and that you would bring mighty revival to our land. How America needs revival. Break forth, Lord. Go forth, great Lion of Judah. Lord, we pray that you would move and manifest your spirit in a powerful way in our country, Lord, in the coming weeks and months, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Anybody have a testimony this morning you'd like to share before we jump on? No testimonies. I'll have to start wearing my disappointed face. No, we won't do that. Okay. Well, this morning, I'd like to talk to you about a topic that makes me feel uncomfortable. Do I say that often? I hope I don't say that too often. Relationships. Do you know that God made you for relationships? He never intended people to go off, and please, I'm not indicting people when I say this, but he never meant for us to go off into a hill and live in a hut by ourselves and isolate ourselves to live a holy life. He meant for us to have relationships. We were made for relationships. It's the way he created us and the way he intended. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God also said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Now, there's more to that verse, but I cut it off there because there's a point to be made. The Lord God also said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Why did God create Adam? He created him, number one, so that he could have fellowship with him. God liked Adam. God liked him. And he created you, and he likes you. Do you ever think that God actually likes you? Some of you feel like you have trouble liking yourself, so the concept of God liking you is a little hard to take, but it's true. God likes you. And he created Adam for fellowship with him, but he also created him to have relationship with others. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. This is almost always used at weddings, and it has nothing to do with marriage. It can be applied that way, but this scripture is not about marriage. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if one falls down, his companion can lift him up, but pity the one who falls without another to help him up. We're made to fellowship with God and to fellowship with each other. And I don't know, maybe you're like me. You might find that having meaningful relationships with others, having really meaningful relationships with others, is kind of difficult. I just find it difficult. Maybe you don't find it difficult. I do. I find it difficult to do that. It's easier to just kind of be surfacey and then sort of isolate yourself. At least that's what I learned to do, especially if you've been through hurtful situations. Growing up, I went through many, many hurtful situations, and it was just easier to isolate myself. Because if you do that, they can't hurt you. You know, it's safe. Not real healthy, but... So why do we need relationships? Why do they matter? Well, even the medical community confirms that relationships are necessary. Right from the beginning of a person's life, the hospitals will tell you, babies in the hospital need to be touched. They need to have contact with people. They don't just need to have their diaper changed and be fed. They need to be held. They need to be talked to. There was an experiment done, and way back in the 13th century, Frederick II did an experiment, and it was, in my opinion, it was quite a barbaric experiment about language and children and how children learn language. And he decided to isolate 50 babies, isolate them. And so he had attendants who would come in and feed the babies, give them their necessary thing, but they were not allowed to utter a single word, not to speak to them at all, and not to show them any affection or care beyond their daily necessities. He was waiting to see how their language would develop. Now, King Frederick II, I don't know what he thought. He had it in his mind that these children were going to just like somehow develop the language. He called it the language of Eden. He was going to find out how it sounded in the Garden of Eden or something. They were going to somehow start speaking. His experiment, he never got to find out because all 50 babies died. They all died of neglect. Were they fed? Yes. Were they changed? Yes. Were they given their necessary things? Yes. but they did not have, they weren't touched, they weren't talked to, they weren't loved. According to the CDC, some of you might have a little trouble with the CDC, but, you know, there is some medical information there, that's not bad. According to the CDC, people with strong social bonds have a 50% higher likelihood of survival. I'm not exactly sure what they mean by survival there, but that was a quote directly from them. They said people who lack social support and have poor quality connections with the people in their lives experience adverse physical impacts not unsimilar to smoking nearly a pack of cigarettes every day. Yikes. Research also shows that a lack of solid relationships is directly related to a substantially increased risk of premature death from a number of causes. So, having relationship is the way God made us. He meant it to be that way. It's God's will for us to have healthy relationships. And what if your family relationships are difficult? I know a lot of people have very difficult family relationships. And we talked last week about how that family is the essential building block of society and how important it is. But how many of you have some level of strained relationships within your family? I had a very stable family. My mom and dad, they stayed married. They didn't get divorced. My dad was a good provider. We had a two-parent home. We lived in a nice house. We had the food we needed. But my father, he was a good provider, but he was very distant. And he did not have any relationship really with me or my siblings. He would go to work. He would come home, sit down and eat dinner, and then he would go upstairs to his room and close the door. Done. I would hear him up there. He would get his instruments out. He was one of these people who could just pick up anything and start playing it. He had a great musical ear. He was very, very much probably where I inherited that. He would be up there playing his trombone. He'd play his horn. He'd do all these things, but he didn't come out. He stayed away from me. He stayed away from my brothers and sisters. It never felt like he loved me or cared about me, and I began to become very resentful of my father. Very resentful. He didn't come out of his room. He didn't spend any time with me. He didn't come to my sports games. I was on teams. He didn't come to my game. I think he came to one. All those years. I think he came once. He lived a separate life. My mom and we all went to one church and he went off to his own church. He had his own life and I did not like it. I had a very resentful, I don't know if I would say I hated him. I was definitely on that path. I did not like him at all. And then I got saved. Went to college and I got saved. And God began to speak to me about my relationship with my dad. And I said, God, what can I do? And I prayed over it. I'd pray for my mom and dad all the time because I wanted them to be saved. And so, but I said, God, what do I do? What? I don't know what to do. And the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, I want you to go and love him aggressively. And when I heard that, my first thought was, I have no idea how to do that. What do I do with this man who has never been hardly part of my life? How do I do it? Well, we went to visit one day. Went to see my mom and dad. I was married at the time, and my wife and I went. And we got there, and we went to greet them. And all of a sudden, I find myself... My dad's there, and I just ran up to him and I gave him a big hug. Now we do not do that. We do not hug. We do not even touch. I just came out of me. I gave him a big hug. And what he did surprised me. He started to laugh. Now, he wasn't laughing at me. It wasn't a bad laugh. It was just this laugh like he was really enjoying that. I heard it come out of him. And so while we were there, I said, hey, Dad, you know, the piano's down here. Why don't you go up and get your horn and come on down. I'll play the piano and you can play your horn and Carol will play the violin and we'll play me some music. I know how much you love music. Well, hightailed it up those stairs and he got his horn and he came down and we had a great time. We played the old hymns. We played his favorite song, In the Good Old Summertime, and you know, all these songs that he just loved. The Lord just kept giving me ideas. I wasn't expecting a lot. I didn't know what to expect. I said, Dad, I'd like to go to church with you. Never, ever went to church with him because we were, my mom was Catholic, my father was Methodist, and when they got married, you had to sign the agreement that the children would be raised Catholic. Well, I never went, and Methodist church, oh my goodness. He said, I'd like to go to church with you. And he kind of looked at me like, who are you? And we went to church, and he that man was so happy. And then something over time, as I began to invest myself in him and take an interest in him, something broke inside of him. And my dad, after a time, he suddenly became my greatest fan. And almost embarrassingly so. We would go to church and they'd have testimony time and he'd say, I'm just so glad to have my family here, my son, and oh, he played a recital and he did. I'm like, oh, Dad, stop. But you know, he was loving me. He was, there was relationship there that we had never had. I think I just bumped this thing. Can't show you my secrets. Oh, I guess I didn't. He was responding to that, and our relationship just flourished. I remember that he came. He was willing to drive out to Wellsville when we had the Billy Graham associate evangelist thing with John Guest that was here, and they had a choir. They had people that wanted to sing. My dad loved to sing in the choir. He said, Dad, you got to come out here and sing. He hopped in his car and he and I sang in that choir. And God did a wonderful thing in his heart. I absolutely know that my father accepted Christ. And his life was just different from that time on. It wasn't anything, it wasn't because of me, but it was because of relationship. It was because of the relationship that I was able to share with him and invest myself in with him that made all the difference in his life. He needed someone to take an active interest in him. And I found out later, his father, oh my goodness, his father was so much worse than he had been. But God can help you with difficult relationships, especially in your families. He can help you with that. Don't give up on those family members. Believe God. Continue to pray. God can give you a key. God spoke to me. It may be something entirely different from you, for you. But pray and believe God to lead you and find a way to love people. Because ultimately, people really just want to be loved. They really do. Even the most prickly, nasty people. Sometimes you're around people and they're just prickly and nasty. It doesn't matter. They still want to be loved. They want to. I'd like to look at five principles for healthy relationships. Number one is servanthood. Well, Pastor Dave, I thought we were talking about relationships. This sounds like servitude. Well, Jesus gave us the best example of healthy relationships with others. He gave us the very best. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Our relationship to somebody else should not and ought not to be what we can receive from them. Now get that. Some people marry people because of what they receive from them. That is sandy soil, folks. It's not to meet our needs or from what we can get or receive from someone else. When relationships are based on what you can get from somebody else, their love, their affirmation, their esteem, whatever, there's going to be trouble when that need's not met. And when people don't, when people don't get what they want, if they're just looking for their needs to be met, and suppose they come to church, they don't get what they want, what do? They're gone. They're out the door. Unless they come to be a servant. Unless they come to serve. Then you're willing to walk through some things with people. You're willing to serve them. You're willing to love. And it's not about you. You've heard it before, how you spell joy. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. I'm telling you, it's the truth. In relationships, it's all about serving other people. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what we do. Number two, I'm going to try to move through this quickly, but number two, truth. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 13. This is Paul speaking. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. Paul's saying, we've opened ourselves up completely to you. Open up to us. Open up. Do it. Be those things that we're being toward you. And if we're going to have a meaningful relationship with others, I've learned that I have to drop the mask. Do you know what I mean by the mask? Hi, how are you? Yeah, nice weather outside. Did you have a good week? Okay, see you later. just stay right on the surface. Don't get any farther down. And frankly, as a pastor, if I come to church on Sunday and I have a bad day, I'm sorry. It's my job to not let you know that. I've got to paste the smile on my face. I should do that. But this guy right here, Kevin Cobb, he always knows when I'm having a bad day. You catch me all the time. And I'll come in and I'll be like, good morning. Hi, how are you? And Kevin looks at me and he goes, are you okay? I don't care how many times you caught me on that, Kevin. And he was right. We tend to wear that mask because fear will keep us hidden. Fear somebody's going to find out what we're really like. Well, you know what? They probably know already if they've been around you very long. They probably already know or know some. And past hurts can keep us guarded. It's easier, as we said, to isolate and insulate because people can't hurt you then. I learned that as a kid. I'm going to be the turtle. Hide in my shell because I just didn't want to be picked on and beat up and hurt anymore. Did not want that. But people can't hurt you, but people can't love you either. They can't love you if you're withdrawn. So there's a thing of letting your guard down and being vulnerable to other people so you can have a relationship with them. That's what Paul was saying. Open wide your hearts to us. We've opened ourselves up to you. It's important to deal with fear and hurts that can keep us from being real with others. Number three is forgiveness. I love this scripture, James 3:2, because it's so true. For in many things we offend all. If you're around me long enough, I'm going to offend you. I won't mean to, but I probably will. Ask my wife. She lives with me. I offend her. I don't mean to most of the time. But in many ways we offend all. And then Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Ay, ay, ay. That means you're going to have trouble with people. But notice that it, at the very beginning, it says a friend loves at all times. Brother may be born for adversity, but a real friend is going to love you anyway. So stuff's going to happen. Don't think it's not going to happen. Proverbs 12:16, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Sometimes it's better to just let it go. This means we need to get up in the morning and put on your Teflon suit. Put it on. Wear it. You decide, I am not going to take offense today. You know, you can be proactive about it. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to do that. Don't let the offenses stick. Proverbs 17:9, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. You know, this doesn't mean that we just lay down and let people wipe their feet on us. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I had to let my offense toward my father go in order to love him unconditionally. I didn't confront him on it. I didn't go after him. I just decided I'm just going to forget it. I'm going to start again, and I'm going to love him unconditionally. There is a time to confront, and there is a time to let go. Sometimes you need to confront. Sometimes you need to let it go. I love Proverbs 26:4-5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he become wise in his own eyes. So which do you do? Do you answer him? Do you not answer him? You have to be led of the Spirit. You got to be led of the Holy Spirit. You got to look. Sometimes there are things that it's just better to forgive and let it go and walk on. If it's injurious to you, then maybe you have to confront it. But so often I've found it's better for me to let it go. But there are times when you have to confront, and that brings us to number 4 in relationships, dealing properly with difficult relationships. You know, it's okay to have boundaries with difficult people. It is okay to love them, but have a line. With some people, it just has to be that way. You've heard me say lots of times, relationships are like building bridges. You are responsible to build your half of the bridge. The other person has to build their half of the bridge out to you. You cannot, if you try to build all the way over to their side, you are going to intrude on them, and that's where we get into trouble. You can build your half. You can put a bench out. You can put the flowers out, make it look nice, wave to them, but let them build their half of the bridge to you. That's how it has to be in relationships. And you have authority as to how far somebody is allowed to come onto your bridge. Your side. How far? And there are times to confront. There are absolutely times when we have to. Whoops, I think I skipped that. Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins against you, go and confront him privately. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Go to him and talk to them about it. Don't go to your friend and talk to them about it. Don't go on Facebook and post something about it. Don't send an email. Don't talk about it. Go and deal with it the right way. If you love somebody, you're not going to go off and gossip about it. Oh, we had the worst problem at one of the schools I worked at with people sending, they'd get mad at the administration and they would send flame emails to the entire district. It was so awful. It was so counterproductive and suddenly people who had no problem at all with the administration, all of a sudden, for no reason, now they're angry. It just makes problems. When you and the school I work at now, I have a Christian superintendent, and he consistently says, if you have a problem with somebody, go and talk to that person. Don't talk to everybody else. It's a scriptural principle. Deal with things the right way, and everything goes better. Go to the person. Don't ignore it. If they've really hurt you, if you need to confront it, go and talk to them. But don't take it to others, and don't gossip. Deal with it properly. Number five, relationships are important if you want to grow. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Have you ever tried to sharpen an axe with nothing? Wave it in the air, it doesn't get any sharper. You've got to rub it against something. And just like that, the writer of Proverbs says, that's what your brothers and sisters in Christ are like. They're going to rub the rough edges off you. Ooh, that might mean you bump into them once in a while. Oh boy, that's okay. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Ooh, a friend who is willing to tell you the way it is, maybe nicely, but it's going to tell you, hey, that's not right. Why? Because they love you. But deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Mm. Very, very true. We need others who can help us rub off the hard edges. And this talks about, this to me speaks of accountability. You need relationships so that you can stay accountable to other people. I know I need relationships. I'm a pastor. I need to be accountable to other people. I need to be. Accountability. Here's a good definition. A personal inclination to allow significant others to look close enough into our lives so that they can see specific weaknesses or problem areas. I don't really like that very much. I don't want people looking in. But let me read it again. A personal inclination to allow significant others to look close enough into our lives so that they can see specific weaknesses or problem areas. Oh, the body of Christ is good for that. I've had people come to me and say, Dave, my wife is really good at that. She's the best accountability partner I have ever had. I have learned a lot by listening to her. I've had people in the church come to me, Pastor Dave, I think I'm not sure about this or that or whatever. I remember once Lou Ann Klein came to me. Lou Ann, you came to me about something that I preached three or four years ago. And it was something about singles and married people. I wish I could remember what it was now. But you came and you said, now I wanted to talk to you about this and how it applies and how it might affect some people. And I said, didn't think of it. Glad you brought that to my mind. That's really important. And that has stuck with me, and I've been careful since then, but thank you. That was a good admonition. But it would not have come without having relationships with other people and being willing to listen and being teachable and willing to hear and receive. Let's see. Relationships yield safety. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. What is the animal that the lion gets? The lion does not attack the herd. They lie in wait until that one trails off a little bit and it's off by itself. And that's when they get it. And the devil looks for the ones that have trailed off and they're alone. He doesn't like to attack somebody who's in firm relationship with other people. There's safety in that. The lion looks for the straggler, the one separated. Hebrews 10:25, let us not neglect meeting together as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There is safety in being in relationship and being with the body of Christ. There is absolute safety in that. That's why sometimes when people disappear, I wait a while. But if you're gone for a while, I'm coming after you. I'll at least call you and say, hey, everything okay? I haven't seen you in a long time. Are you all right? There's safety. There's safety in it. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we walk this life together, Lord. And we're better together than we are by ourselves. But Father, help us to be people who have healthy relationships. And Father, for the relationships in our lives that aren't really good, I know some of us may have family relationships that aren't what we wish they were. And yet, Father, we believe you, and we know that you can untangle all of those things. So I pray for every difficult relationship today that you would bring healing, that you would bring resolution and understanding, Father, where it's needed. And Father, help us to love people as we patiently wait. Sometimes we may have to wait. But God, I pray that you would do that work and help us to love people well, to learn to serve them, to be ones who are willing to be open and vulnerable to other people. And help us, Father, to be accountable and teachable, Father. Thank you for your grace for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, there's going to be lunch. There's going to be packing. If you can't stay to pack, you could probably stand to eat anyway. Stay for some fellowship. I'm sorry to say I have to run. Many of you know our brother Daryl Ordaway. Might remember Daryl. He is being installed as the pastor of the Andover First Baptist Church today at 1 o'clock. And I want to be sure to get there for his installation service, so I'm going to book out of here today. But if you need prayer, someone will be here to pray with you. Otherwise, I hope you can stay and enjoy some fellowship and pack up some boxes. God bless you.